you just pray for me for a moment? Pray that I'll speak the Lord's words to you. And I'll pray that you're able to hear what he wants you to hear. Let us entrust our prayers and each other to Our Lady and Saint Joseph's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
One way of reading this parable of the prodigal son is to see the two ways that we try to live without a father. One way is like the younger son, who wants to find his own happiness away from his father. Sometimes we have this attitude, if God would just give us what is ours, then we won't need him anymore. Sometimes we can even take that attitude into confession. If he would just forgive me and help me never to sin again, then I wouldn't need to go to confession anymore. We want a divine physician that will cure us so that we never have to see him again. Well, God does want us to give us the grace, want to give us the grace that we can keep growing in holiness and not sin. But he doesn't want us to do that at the expense of our relationship with him. In another way, well, to focus on the younger son for a moment, so he really has an orphan spirit. He wants to go find his happiness on his own without his father. You just give me what is mine, and then I'm going to go and try to do it without you. But we can't actually do it. We can't find our own happiness without our Father. And that's why God didn't make us to be self-sufficient, perfected holiness things that go off on our own and just become our own kind of self-sufficient saint so that we never sin and we never need anyone. But it's so easy to develop this kind of attitude, to go forth and fashion our own form of happiness. That's the orphan attitude. Then the other attitude that we see in the older son is one of earning our salvation. I'm going to work hard enough to earn it. I'm going to earn holiness. I'm going to earn love. I'm going to earn forgiveness. I'm going to earn my salvation. The older son has that attitude that he will not receive salvation as a gift. He won't receive the Father's love as a gift. He wants to earn it. And he feels that the fact that he's never received a young goat to celebrate a feast with his friends is because he hasn't worked hard enough where the Father would have given it to him, when the reality is that he never asked. And we hear what authentic fatherhood is. You are here with me always, and everything I have is yours. That's how our Father is. And so, sometimes we might have this attitude, even in our Christian faith, that we're going to earn it all, and we're going to become the self-perfected. If I just do all of these things, sometimes people even ask me, Father, what am I supposed to do? Tell me what to do. You know, like, as if I could give you a regimen. Now we have the Nineveh 90, there's also an Exodus 90. We have some of these spiritual regimens, which are beautiful in themselves, but if they give us an attitude like, if I just accomplish this spiritual athleticism, then I will have earned my place, in a similar way that we train for a marathon so that I can win the marathon. That's not how I achieve holiness. Holiness is not an achievement, it's a gift. Holiness is a gift, and it's given also to little children and babes. Holiness is given to those who can't achieve much of anything. In fact, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs." Learning how to receive holiness as a gift, receive love as a gift, in order to bring us into a family, not to separate us from it, whether we're earning our salvation out in the fields or whether we're dissipating our inheritance on sin, prostitutes, dissolute living, in either case, we've left the home and we've left the family. God didn't save us to make us independent of a family. He saved us by giving us a family, giving us a place in a home, giving us a father who cares for us and provides for us. So in a very simple way, we could say that salvation is precisely living with Jesus in the home in Nazareth, under the fatherhood of Joseph and the motherhood of Mary, to live a humble, simple family life. Pope Francis said something that I like very much when he was here in Philadelphia for the World Meeting of Families. He said, God's plan of salvation is the domestication of the whole world, the domestication of the human race. Domestication means a home, a domus. God made all of us to be a family. Now, of course, the way that we learn to grow into a family is through our own families, and it's why family is so important, why there's such a great emphasis on family, which has fallen apart in so many ways. But for all of the ways that our own families are lacking, either the ones that we're in charge of or the ones that we grew up in, we do have a perfect family, the Holy Family, that welcomes us in, so that we always have a father and a mother who are a perfect father and a perfect mother to love us, and a brother in Jesus, or in another sense, we're baptized into Jesus, we're in his very position in relation to that mother and that father in Joseph and Mary. So we're brought into this family. And part of our goal is to become like children who can receive the gift of family love, fatherly love, motherly love, learning how to receive that free gift, which requires humility on our parts. We have to let go of the illusion that I earned it, and that I earned it more than she did, or more than he did. We have to let go of those comparisons and allow ourselves to receive a gift which was much greater than anything we could have ever earned. And to receive that gift, in fact, again and again, because all of us squander it in one way or another. All of us take it for granted in one way or another. All of us go after the path of the orphan son who wants to do it on his own for a while. And all of us need to repent and come back home. Come back to the home in Nazareth. Come back to Joseph and Mary. Come back to our Heavenly Father who is so merciful. Pope John Paul II, in his apostolic exhortation on the family, Familiaris Consortio, speaks about an authentic fatherhood, and it gives us a little window into who St. Joseph is and into his fatherhood, a fatherhood we can depend on. He says, "In revealing and in reliving on earth the very fatherhood of God, a man is called upon to ensure the harmonious and united development of all the members of the family." Now he describes that in more detail. So a man, a father of a family, is called to ensure the harmonious and united development of all the members of the family. He will perform this task by exercising generous responsibility for the life conceived under the heart of the mother, by a more solicitous commitment to education, a task he shares with his wife, by work, which is never a cause of division in the family, but promotes its unity and stability, and by means of the witness he gives of an adult Christian life, which effectively introduces the children into the living experience of Christ and the Church. So we can learn to receive from the fatherhood of St. Joseph. He exercises a generous responsibility for our lives. St. Joseph takes personal responsibility for the life of each one of us. That's what it means that he's the patron of the universal church. Doesn't it feel good to know that somebody takes responsibility for us? We often get so weighed down by the responsibilities that we carry. And we do have responsibilities. We do have things that we have to be concerned about, and the buck stops here. There are decisions we have to make. But there's one who is actually catching some of the things that are falling through the cracks, that is making up for some of our failures. There's one who helps to facilitate for us the providence of God. And it's Saint Joseph. He is the master of the household of God. He's not Pharaoh, but he's Pharaoh's right hand. He's not God, but he is God's right hand. He is the one who provides for us all of the things in the household of God. And so, when we find ourselves so weighed down by responsibility, so weighed down by the tasks that are laid upon us, so weighed down by the things that we have to do, we can take a little breather and remember there's one who's responsible for us, who's taken responsibility for us, and that's Saint Joseph, who also took responsibility for God's own Son. Also, the Father has a solicitous commitment to education, a task he shares with his wife. And so when we want to learn, we can place ourselves before Mary and Joseph. And we can really allow that in our imagination to come alive. Maybe you remember teaching your own children. Maybe you remember learning things from your own father. I'm so touched. I was not raised a Christian, and so I didn't learn the ways of faith from my father and mother, naturally. But I did learn from a lot of different fathers who were priests and from older brothers who taught me things about how to pray the rosary, what to do in adoration. I remember these things very concretely. People who took the time to teach me, to sit with me, to give me an example, to form me. But maybe you remember how beautiful it was to teach your own children, to teach them their prayers, to say them kneeling beside their bed at night, and to teach them simple ways to pray, and how many times they even surprised you by little things that emerged from those little minds and hearts that are mysteriously filled with the grace of God. But how sweet that was to teach them to pray. Now place yourself in their position and let Mary and Joseph kneel next to you and teach you how to pray. They know God so well. They know Jesus so well. And they can teach you in a very sweet and tender way how to pray. All of us feel that need as we come before the Lord in adoration, as our minds are so distracted, as we feel so tossed about by the tumult of life. Teach me to pray. We take up those words of the apostles. Lord, teach us to pray. And Mary and Joseph, in a very paternal and maternal way, can teach us to pray. Form us. And also educate us about so many other things in life. They are experts. They do know how things work. And they are really, they've experienced a radical trust in divine providence. And sometimes we feel ourselves stretched by the events of life and in such deep need of God's providential care. Mary and Joseph can teach us. They educate us. Pope John Paul says also, Saint Joseph, a father teaches us to work in a way that promotes unity and stability. So Joseph doesn't work in a way that causes division. Sometimes our work can cause division if it's competitive, or if we start to get a certain angle that we want to keep other people out of, it becomes secretive or so much my task. Saint Joseph can teach us to work not like the older brother out in the field, slaving away, trying to earn his father's recognition, but in a way that receives work as a gift. Work is really a gift. We'll talk about both the interior life and work a little bit more in subsequent conferences, because Saint Joseph is a master of the interior life and he's also the exemplar of work. But he can teach us to work in a way that promotes unity and stability. And then finally, he gives witness of how to live an adult Christian life. Joseph is the one who knew Jesus before anybody else except Mary. And together they knew Jesus before everybody else. And he lived in union with him. He followed him. He took care of him. He spent every day with him. Joseph knows what it's like to be united to Jesus and to do everything in his presence. And so he can really teach us that as a loving father and prevent us from becoming that orphan son, or prevent us from becoming that self-sufficient son who's going to earn his salvation. Saint Joseph can help us to receive that. And we can also find in Saint Joseph what the gospel describes for us in the merciful Father. Again, it feels so good to receive the love of a father who has skin on, that we can imagine. So I want to say it again. Saint Joseph never wants to take anything away from the Heavenly Father. And so we certainly find a loving father in him. I often think of the Heavenly Father as our big father and think of Saint Joseph as our little father. It's very nice to have a little father who can hold little us and who can take care of us. And when we feel that we have sinned and we feel the pain of that, may we never simply mire in it, but learn the words of the prodigal son. I will get up and go back to my father. May we know the fatherly love of Saint Joseph in such a way that we never hesitate to come to him in our sinfulness, to come to him in our failures, to come to him when we feel the shame of the wrong that we've done, when we feel our brokenness, when we feel our weakness weighing down on us, even when we look back at our history and we'd rather leave so much of that history behind, and yet we have to admit, I did those things, I said those things, I thought those things, and I feel the weight of my own poverty. Saint Joseph always has open arms for us. We can always find in him a loving embrace. We can always find in him a loving welcome. He's always willing to bring us back into the household of God, always to restore us with that royal robe and that ring of nobility. And when he puts that on us, we feel a little bit of the discomfort. The prodigal son came home from the pigsty, literally. And Joseph didn't say, "Oh boy, you stink. Let me hose you down now for a moment." He said, "Get the finest robe and put it on him." And then the prodigal son had to feel a little bit of that discomfort, a little bit of that embarrassment of what he'd done, and yet feeling the warmth of that royal robe which covered it over. And as he allowed that nobility to sink back into his bones and to remember that he was a son, being a son was not something that he deserved, not something he was worthy of, but it was a gift. It was a gift the first time, and it was a gift the second time when he was restored to that sonship. And being a child of Joseph and a child of God is a gift for us, not something any of us deserves. And when we've lost it and we know we've lost it, we know we don't deserve it, and yet God never hesitates to give it back to us if we're willing to say with the prodigal son, "I will get up and go back to my father." We have a father who restores our sonship. So we can receive all of that tender love from Saint Joseph, from the Heavenly Father, but communicated through Saint Joseph. It's one of the things that God always does. He's not trying to move toward the simplicity of mathematics. If you're mathematicians, any of you out there, then you know that we always want to boil things down to one law, to one formula. We want to remove all of the excess as much as we can and get it expressed as simply as we possibly can. But God is a master of abundance. If he can involve more people, if he can involve more family in everything that he does, then he wants more people involved. He wants more intercession. He wants more people to comfort us, more people to assist us. He wants to have more saints and more of heaven. God is a God of abundance, and so he doesn't need to remove everybody else as if they're competition, but rather he gathers everybody in. So even though we focus so much on Saint Joseph and Our Lady, we could think of Saint Patrick from yesterday or Saint Cyril from today or so many of the other saints who God all just wants to get all of them involved and make us truly one big family. The saints are never removing anything from his providential care, but God is willing to pass on his grace to them, to pass on to us, because he wants more people involved in this beautiful family that he forms, a family that persists for all eternity in heaven. And so he's given these, passed on these titles and these graces. Just want to make a comment or two and wrap them into this conference from some of your questions. One person, and some very nice questions. Please keep these coming. I will, some of them I'm going to, already had planned to speak about, but I love it that you're engaging the material, bringing back some of those questions you might have had thinking about St. Joseph. And one person asked about the genealogy, which goes through Joseph. Genealogy, really, both in Luke and in Matthew, go through Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's kind of how that flows out. So Jesus is clearly the son of Mary, but Joseph is truly the husband of Mary. I meant to mention that in the last conference. When we hear that he was betrothed, it's not like engagement that we understand now. In the Jewish understanding, and it's why the word husband and wife are used. Take Mary, your wife. Not Mary as your wife, as if she wasn't already. She was already his wife. Take her into his home. It actually adds into his home in the New American Bible. It's not in the Greek text, but anyway, to help clarify that sense. So they were really married. And Pope John Paul said, their marriage is as important as her virginity. So we know the miraculous virgin conception of Jesus and virgin birth. That's notes his divinity. But their marriage is as important as that, because through Joseph's faith, through Mary's faith, Jesus received a body. Through Joseph's faith, Jesus was put into the lineage of salvation history and became son of David. Because Joseph is really the husband of Mary, Jesus is really the legal son of Joseph. The legal son. Not the biological son, but the legal son of Joseph. So he inherits the promise, and he's inserted into salvation history because Joseph said yes to marrying Mary. So it's a very important point. Just another. Someone asked about consecrating children without fathers to Joseph. Sure, it's a wonderful thing. Consecrate everything to Joseph. That's what I say. More is better. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. He really does make up for our fathers in their limitations, if we have them. For those who never even knew their fathers, everybody has a father, you know? It's just how the biology works. But for those of us who didn't know our fathers, or fathers who are very broken and sinful, yeah, St. Joseph makes up for all of that. So introducing, consecrating, praying for all of that. Certainly, we have a father in St. Joseph. And then just a last question here. Someone said, Joseph was such a holy man. Couldn't he have just accepted God's will and trusted in God before the angel appeared to him? Well, the thing is, he didn't know what God's will was before the angel appeared to him. That's the point, is that in his confusion, God didn't enlighten him internally. That's the only way we really come to know what God's will is, either through our reason or through that grace of the Holy Spirit. But he couldn't reason about a situation that never existed before. What do you do in case of a virgin birth? Right, so it wasn't a reasonable approach to that. The only other way he could know the grace of God is through an internal inspiration, which God hadn't given him yet. He allowed him to be in that confusion and suffering a little bit. It stretched his heart. He moved from glory to glory. His love grew in that experience. And all the goodness that he had came out in his decision to distance himself. That was the best decision he could have made without a further inspiration. And he received that in a dream. So it's a good lesson for us too. And we can ask Joseph how to educate us on those points. We find ourselves in difficult situations that we can't reason our way through, and we haven't received the inspiration yet. Maybe we won't, and we'll have to make the best decision we can. Maybe we will, and we'll have to incorporate that into our decision. But Joseph can educate us, part of his fatherly task, on how to live in those times of uncertainty, confusion, the wrestling within us. So let us allow Joseph and Mary to accompany us now as we continue the celebration of the Eucharist, to allow us to receive Jesus and to receive mercy, like the prodigal son, to receive all the love of heaven, which is poured out through all of these human mediators and finally reaches us.